Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first episode of Wrestle Chat Radio here on the Fan Junkies Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Raggis. Alongside me, you might know him as the face, the founder, probably the head writer of WrestleChat.net, Brett Clindaniel. Brett, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. I am very excited to be making moves, making millions of dollars worth of moves.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Very true.
Oh, man. So, listen, first episode of Wrestle Chat Radio here on Fan Junkies Radio. I'm stoked, Brett. I am stoked that you decided to get Wrestle Chat Radio going, man.
You know, it's about damn time. You would think we launched Wrestle Chat almost 3 years ago now, and
yep.
People have been asking for something like this for a while. I think we've given it a go once or twice, you know, on various different platforms, and the time's just right. You know, Road to WrestleMania, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, you know, just things. It's the perfect time.
There's lots to talk about. Some of it good, some of it awful, some of it even terrible, but we're going to talk about it because that's what Wrestle Chat Radio is all about. So I guess first, Brett, we have to talk about this whole Rock going over CM Punk at the Royal Rumble. The fan reaction over it has been insane.
You're telling me.
Insane. I mean, you saw it on Twitter. So take the mic here, Brett. What have you been hearing? What have you been reading from the fans coming through Twitter hitting you up at WrestleChat.net?
Well, you know, first off, we have to take into mind, you know, we are on the internet, and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, you know, they're the internet darlings.
Yes.
You know, overwhelmingly, fans are furious. I mean, sometimes, you know, hilariously furious at the fact that CM Punk dropped the belt to The Rock at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
The line that's been thrown around all over the place is, you know, that CM Punk jobbed to an elbow drop. You know, I guess it's a fair debate or whatever. And, you know, people are upset. He held about 434 days. He brought prestige back to the WWE title. And here he is losing to a movie star. You know, on the flip side, I've seen very few. And when I say very few, I mean, I think maybe two or three, almost to the point where I'm having trouble remembering people who have openly tweeted that they were okay with this move, with The Rock going over. And it's crazy at the moment. I don't remember the last time fans were this divided and this heated on something. And you know what? From a business standpoint, that means it worked.
Absolutely. Now, do you think fans were aggravated over this move and really pissed off due to the fact that it was CM Punk? Was it because of the stature of CM Punk? Was it because of how many days he held the belt? Or was it because it was against somebody like The Rock?
I think it's a little bit of all three. You know, and I asked that specific question last night on Twitter. I wanted to know, you know, was it because he lost to The Rock? Was it because he lost to a movie star? Was it the fact that he just lost it all? And, you know, the results were honestly right down the middle for all three. People are just upset over it. They didn't want to see CM Punk go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it comes down to in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, is people know that this is going to lead to John Cena versus The Rock once again.
Yeah.
The headline WrestleMania 29. And people just don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, when John Cena won the Royal Rumble, you automatically knew CM Punk was not leaving a Royal Rumble with that belt.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Absolutely right.
I mean, it was so predictable to the point where it was just awful. If you're a fan listening right now and you're pissed off at The Rock winning a belt or you think it was the right move, give us a call in at 347-237-5373 and let us know what you think, because right now it's all about the fan reaction, Brett.
Yeah, and you know what? Our good buddy Eric Gargiulo of the CamelClutchBlog.com, he wrote a really good blog today over there. It's called the WWE 2013 Royal Rumble Results Were the Right Results.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually argues why The Rock going over was the right thing. And Eric does a really good job of breaking this down specifically from a rating standpoint. You know, he looks at the last 434 days that CM Punk held the belt, and he says, look, buy rates are down, ratings are down. CM Punk just flat out isn't the type of draw that a WWE champion needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not The Rock is going to be that guy, keep in mind, The Rock is only going to be working Raws and pay-per-views. He's not doing any live events and things like that. So it'll be curious to see if that side of the business actually falls off as a result of this.
All right, totally understandable. But let's get to our first fan calling in here from the 856 area code. 856, what's on your mind?
Hey, John, what's up?
Who's this?
It's Justin.
What's going on, Justin?
Statman Justin.
Hey, how you doing, Brett?
How are you, man?
So what do you think, Justin? What do you think about the whole Rock CM Punk angle here? Was this the right move?
I think it was the right move, actually. And I'm a CM Punk fan. That's kind of hard for me to say. I mean,
now,
the fact of the matter
what's your
is,
reasoning?
My reasoning is, I mean, last year Rock and Cena set the buy rate record, you know, 1 point, however many million buys it was.
Yeah.
And from a business sense, that makes the most sense.
Mm.
I mean, 2 years ago when CM Punk was doing his pipe bomb thing, trashing Vince, trashing the company, on his biggest run, Money in the Bank only got 195,000 buys. You see, you got to figure a lot of Punk fans, you know, some of them bought into the show, but a lot of them probably streamed it and just, you know, got it for free illegally. And, you know, Rock fans, it seems like actually buy the pay-per-view. Survivor Series 2011 was up from the year before by about 15%. I mean, if you're Vince, you cater to the people that are actually going to buy the shows, actually put money in your pocket. You have nothing to gain from catering to people who are just going to steal.
Mm.
And that's the truth. I mean, if Punk fans actually bought, I mean, if Money in the Bank had 300,000 buys or 400,000 buys, whatever it was, the Vince would say, hey, there's money in Punk. Sure, they buy the DVD, maybe they buy the T-shirt, but that's where it stops, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, I think Brett hit it on the head there where he says that this is the whole business side of the aspect. I mean, there's two sides here to the fan reaction. It's the fans. They think of it as an entertainment portion of it where CM Punk has to have the belt because he's the better, he's the one there. But what they don't realize is the business aspect of the whole thing. The Rock sells pay-per-views. The Rock is going to come back. He's going to create a lot of energy. He's going to create a lot of electricity. It was the right move. And I'm a Punk guy myself. So to me, it was the right move.
Absolutely.
Justin, as a CM Punk fan,
yeah.
What do you think, if CM Punk were to go over the Rock, do you think there's any way, any type of storyline that you can think of that maybe would have made ratings and a specifically buy rates continue on that upward trend even without the Rock holding the title?
No, actually, I don't. I mean, if you ask the most diehard CM Punk fan, their idea is to have him beat Rock at the Rumble, then have him beat Cena at WrestleMania, then have him beat Brock at Extreme Rules, and have him beat Taker at whatever, and then just have him beat everyone because that's what they want.
Mm.
But they're not putting their money where their mouth is or speaking irrationally because their favorite guy lost. That's really all there is to it.
Yeah. Now, you know what? From the other aspect of this now, with The Rock holding the belt, you would think that The Rock is going to have to be on almost every Raw and almost every SmackDown leading up to Mania. Isn't that correct?
Well, you would think that.
Yeah. So, Brett, what do you think? Are we going to see The Rock almost on every road leading up to Mania, or is he going to disappear for weeks at a time?
Well, I mean, according to local advertising at the moment, Rock is going to be at every single Raw except for one. I mean, at least he's advertised at the moment. Things can change. Up until about 2 weeks ago, he was supposed to miss the Raw. I think it's 2 weeks before WrestleMania. There's a Raw in Philadelphia. He was supposed to miss that, but he's now being advertised locally. So it looks like he's going to actually stick around. And maybe this is a result of that criticism last year from a lot of the people in the WWE that were kind of upset that he was coming in and only working two or three dates and then disappearing. So maybe he's actually trying to prove something this time around.
Yeah. Now, do you think he's actually back in wrestling because he missed it, or is he just looking for the payday here?
I've been thinking about that a lot recently. I'm curious to know what Justin thinks about this. I'd like to see him stick around, maybe work a Brock Lesnar-type schedule. But, Justin, what do you think about this?
Honestly, I'm not really sure if he's sticking around full-time or not, or even just more than what he's used to. But the whole criticism of him not being around much last year, I mean, that kind of subsided when Vince got his bottom line from WrestleMania. So I don't think anyone's really bitching about that anymore, saying, oh, Rock should have done this, Rock should have done that stupid concert where he did the Queen tribute or whatever.
Nah.
You know, all that at the end of the day pale because Vince got what he wanted. He got $67 million in revenue from one event. And money trumps all, especially in this crappy economy. He got what he wanted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what? If Vince really cared about what the fans wanted from the product, he wouldn't do half of the things he does. It's all about the money, and that's the bottom line.
And then at the end of the day, as long as he gets what he wants.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
Pretty much.
I don't know, Brett. I guess, it's time to talk about John Cena now, right?
Yeah. Do we gotta?
We have to. We can also talk about Eric's column here as well at the same time with, Cena winning a Royal Rumble and going on to face whoever he's going to be facing at WrestleMania. It's got to be The Rock, don't you think?
Yeah, all signs point that way. They've been pointing that way for quite a bit of time. It looks like we're going to get once in a lifetime twice, and I think it's inevitable, barring injury.
Barring injury. What do you think, Justin? Is it going to be The Rock, Cena at WrestleMania?
Well, it's kind of for Cena and Del Rio in the opening match, but I guess it's going to have to be him and Rock now.
Now, let me ask this real quick, throw it out to both of you guys, and then we'll, you know, go on to other things here. Do you see the WWE putting a spin on this where it's not going to be The Rock at WrestleMania?
Absolutely not. It's, if it drew money the first time, this is Vince, he has to try it the second time. He knows from Hogan Warrior 20 years ago that he should have at least tried it twice rather than have Hogan face Sergeant Slaughter for Americana and fight the Iraqi bad guy. He left money on the table, and he can't afford to do that this time. Especially when he knows it made so much money the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Brett?
I mean, hopefully they do a good job of kind of teasing that The Rock has some chances to lose the belt between now and then. But, you know, like Justin, I don't think we're going to get that. I think everybody knows where this is going. WWE is set where this is going. I expect a much better match at Elimination Chamber between The Rock and CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this time we're going to see Punk go you know, he's going to lose clean, you know, a lot cleaner than this past weekend.
Yeah.
And but I don't think this is going to come any close to them teasing The Rock dropping the belt. I think this is set in stone until that night in New Jersey where he's going to drop the belt to John Cena.
Yeah. Now, is the predictability of this really killing the energy going into this matchup? Because, you know, you have everybody talking about things being leaked out on the internet. This really wasn't leaked out on the internet. You could just tell by watching everything unfold at the Royal Rumble, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knew this a year ago when at the press conference before WrestleMania 28 in Miami, you know, The Rock, he said flat out, I will be at WrestleMania 29 next year. And the day after WrestleMania, everybody was already talking about Rock and Cena doing this for a second time. And, you know, I think the second The Rock won last year, you knew that Cena was going to get his revenge at some point. You know, Cena's the guy that's going to be hanging around. He needs to go over. And I think fans knew that was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen last year at SummerSlam. That's, you know, I kind of thought Cena was going to get his win back, and then maybe this would be the trilogy.
Yeah.
To me, that would have made more sense than, you know, doing a singles match again and with just the opposite ending, because then you're left wondering, okay, now they got to fight again, right? They need to find out who's going to be the definitive winner.
Mm-hmm. So basically, in the end, Cena is going to walk out of Mania with the strap.
Yeah, unfortunately.
For, what is that, like the 18th time now?
I don't know. Justin would know better than me. He's the stat guy.
Justin, how many times has he had to hold the belt now?
I want to say 13, but don't quote me on that.
Holy shit.
That's insane.
That's 12 too many.
Who knows? Maybe Backlund will come out and put somebody in a chicken wing and win the strap. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Fans everywhere will be throwing in the towel for Cena.
Oh, I would.
The bank.
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. Now, let's, I mean, honestly, we could talk so much about The Rock, the whole Cena angle, and how as soon as Cena won the Royal Rumble, we all knew it was The Rock. He was going to win the belt from Punk. He was going to go on. We talked about the predictability of it. But let's try to get off of that for now and go on to a few other things, and let's talk about Brock Lesnar returning last night, the whole Paul Heyman personal performance review in the ring last night on Monday Night Raw. Here what happens. Lesnar comes out, does what he has to do to McMahon, breaks his pelvis, McMahon out. Where are we going with this, guys?
Well, presumably it's probably going to be Lesnar versus Triple H at WrestleMania so Hunter can get his revenge for God knows what reason, because he won't transfer it to anybody else. But what I'd like to see, and this is, I'm sure no one's mentioned this possibility yet, what if Heyman turns on Punk for not getting the job done at Elimination Chamber? If Punk gets his shot, he loses the second time around. What if he has Brock destroy him? Then Punk comes back and beats Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty cool. You know what? I actually really like that. You know, when they took Punk out from where he was just 6 to 7 months ago and they turned him heel again, I think a lot of fans really didn't like that. Brett, what do you think? Is that, you know, would that be a key moment to getting Punk to go back to face?
You know, I'd like to see it, but I don't think we're anywhere near close to seeing CM Punk go back face. I think he's going to be a heel for a while now. I think he's going to be a heel for the long run. And, you know, plus, who else do they have? They have no other heels.
No.
So they really don't have a choice at the moment. Would I like to see Punk versus Brock? Yes, I would. I know last year in the summertime there was some talk about CM Punk saying that, you know, he wanted to work with Brock Lesnar. He thought it would be fun. You know, so I would like to see it. But it looks like right now, like Justin said, we're gonna end up with Triple H versus Brock Lesnar again. CM Punk looks to be in line to face The Undertaker in you know, there are three. When it comes down to it, those three main events, four if you want to count this rumored Sheamus and Randy Orton match for the World Heavyweight Championship that's supposed to sometime now start taking some, you know, some form. Between those four matches, there's not a single one of them that I want to see. And, you know, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. What about a Taker versus Lesnar at Mania? Brandon's,
you know,
asking in the chat
room.
I would
love to see that. I've been saying that I've wanted to see that for years now. You know, you go back to the UFC event, the number is slipping my mind at the moment, but you go back to the UFC event where Brock Lesnar, he just gets done getting his ass kicked, and there's The Undertaker standing there. You know, they have a face-off on Brock Lesnar's you know, exit of from the cage, and it was just perfect. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody didn't know what was going to happen. You know, is The Undertaker getting into MMA? Is Brock Lesnar going back to WWE? Is this an angle? Is this a shoot? Do they hate each other? You know, they could really take that. And you have literally 2-3 years now that since that's happened, 3 years of animosity that you could put all into this storyline is two guys who genuinely do not like each other. To me, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
At this point with The Undertaker, you have this streak. The streak is never going to end. And the only way that fans are going to be interested in this match is if you put Undertaker in there with somebody who the fans legitimately believe can beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to look at 230 pounds soaking wet, maybe. He's 230 pounds. He might be even less than that, probably.
Oh, he's way less than that.
But nobody's going to look at CM Punk and say, okay, that guy's going to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. It's just not going to happen. If you put Brock Lesnar in there, he's a two-time UFC heavyweight champion. Who knows how many times he's won the WWE championship. He's an ass kicker. He's a big dude. He's bad as hell. People will believe, okay, Brock Lesnar has a chance. People aren't going to think that with CM Punk.
Okay, but just to counter that point, if they did put Punk in there theoretically against Undertaker and they had him beat Taker and end the streak, how fast would fans forgive the Royal Rumble? Having Rock,
I don't
over
think
him?
Fans would forgive that at all, because I think that I don't think fans want to see that. I don't think fans want to see the streak end. I don't think CM Punk is the guy to end the streak. CM Punk doesn't need that. You know, CM Punk has just held the belt for 434 days, which is it the eighth longest reign in history, or the fourth longest reign in history? Okay, the sixth longest reign in history. It's the longest reign since 1988. You know, I don't think CM Punk needs to go over The Undertaker to, you know, for fans to see him legitimately. If anybody's going to do that, it needs to be somebody else, somebody younger, somebody that needs that. You know, I don't know. I mean, you raise a really good point, but I don't know if fans – I think fans that like CM Punk also like The Undertaker. You know that those fans that hate The Rock hate John Cena. You know, so I think it's kind of the same thing. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, but nobody would think CM Punk would win.
He'd be a man for life if he did.
Yeah, so, you know what, let's start a few names then, thinking about that right now. You know, who would you put in a matchup against The Undertaker if The Undertaker was going to lose at WrestleMania, and who could use that as a push to launch their superstardom in the WWE? Would a guy like Dolph Ziggler ring out for you, or... would have to be somebody on a much bigger scale.
The first name that comes to my mind is somebody who would absolutely be catapulted into the stratosphere by beating The Undertaker is Ryback. You know, I think he's already there. Fans love him. He's getting a huge push.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd probably require him to maybe turn or maybe kind of go into that match as a – well, he's going to go into – anybody who goes in against The Undertaker at Mania is automatically going to be disliked.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Ryback would – benefit from that, and so would the company long term if he was that guy.
But the one problem with Ryback is go ahead, John.
No, go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say, you know, Ryback's one problem is that he's part of this company, and it was seen last night when he had to do that stupid joke segment with the primetime players. They can't write dialogue for him, or really anyone for that matter, because it's also watered down, hackneyed, and just bleached to the point where everyone's reciting the same corny lines with the same corny cadence. They can't make this writing work. And Goldberg never had to do that. Goldberg would just snarl, yell, "Who's next?" and beat the shit out of a guy. And that worked for him. But Ryback has to do, he has the same writers that Wade Barrett and unfortunately so many others have to deal with, and they can't make this stuff work. I mean, yeah, Ryback makes the mauling of opponents look great. He has great offense for what he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes over Taker, he has a spotlight on him, and then he has to start talking more in order to justify this new title bestowed upon him, the man that ended the streak. So now here's Ryback, guy who ends the streak, and now he has to start talking more, and these people are going to see these are some lame fucking promos, and he can't make the writing work. He can't justify it.
Nah.
Who would be, if you could pick one or two people that, you know, that would really, you know, pay dividends by going over The Undertaker, where would you be on that?
Well, honestly, I would put Punk in there as one of them because he is believable. I mean, in spite of what you say, no disrespect or anything. I mean, he's beaten up The Rock, he's beaten up John Cena, he's proven he can do that. And in turn, they've beaten up Undertaker, so logically,
mm-hmm.
he could beat up Undertaker. Shawn's done it, and Shawn's even bandier than CM Punk is in terms of physique. Punk is believable enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, Punk is definitely believable enough to do it, but can they go towards the future where you're knocking off a whole decade and old era of guys like, you know, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, you know, just these big type of superstar type guys, and then you're going to go down to, okay, now you're going to have CM Punk beat The Undertaker, he ends his streak, this launches a whole new era of WWE. Can Punk be the front man for that, or are they going to have to get somebody on a scale where he looks believable enough that he actually could go up against somebody like The Undertaker and beat him?
That's what I would think.
Well, who looks believable that has CM Punk's ability to make crappy lines work?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at everybody there right now, CM Punk, you know, he's the sole guy, only because he can do everything. He can do
right.
everything. Everybody else in the WWE right now, they can't do anything. Yes, you can go at Ryback, but the guy's awful on the mic. There's no personality there. So how is that going to build the future of the WWE? There are some other guys, you know, a Dolph Ziggler or whatever. You know what? You want to go back to Orton, but that's, to me, that's you just can't even use him for that.
No.
You know, if you had to go to somebody other than CM Punk, I don't necessarily would pick Ryback. I think I would pick somebody like a Dolph Ziggler, but at the same time, he does not look like he could be a believable type guy that could end the Undertaker streak and launch the future of the WWE. I think they lack those type of guys like the Undertaker were years ago.
Yeah, you raise a good point.
Well, I think someone could have done it if they hadn't ruined him on the microphone and personality-wise was Sheamus. Big enough, monstrous enough, but they give him some awful promos to work with, like, hey, fella, I'm going to steal your car and take a crap in it. You know, it's like...
Yeah, you know what? It would be somebody like Sheamus. They have the build, they have the look, and when Sheamus was a heel, he was a fierce guy, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy I could believe that could go into a WrestleMania and defeat The Undertaker and take that streak and just basically launch the future of the WWE from there on out. You know, even some of the younger guys coming in, like Bo Dallas, I don't even see those type of guys having that kind of knack for being the next superstar like you had the Triple H's, the Undertaker's, whatever, years ago. I just don't see it.
Well, they homogenize them. It's just a muscle factor now. They bring in, all these guys all have the same looks. They bring all the guys that have the same personality. They're all stripped down, and you start fresh with them. And that's part of the problem. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, now you have some more personality, like Curtis Clay, three-man band. They do stand out a little bit more now, and you're getting back to what it used to be, which is a good thing, to where everyone has their own little gimmick and they stand out. But
mm-hmm.
but the problem is you kill off a whole generation of having guys that do stand out, because there's a big gap there where everyone looked the same, like Lance Cade, you know, God rest his soul. But they tried pushing him, and he really had nothing personality-wise.
Yeah.
Had a good look, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah. It takes a lot to me, Brett, and I don't know what you think about it, but when you got guys like Brodus Clay, three-man band, whatever, they're getting back to having some of those role players that could, you know, supplement for the superstars, but they're lacking the superstar faces.
Yeah, they lack the look, you know, they're not really built, they're not big guys, and I think that's, you know, honestly, I think this is where the future of the WWE is going.
Yeah.
You know, you look at all the guys in NXT, you look at the guys that are in the Shield, and, you know, Richard Whitehouse, he's a Wrestle Chat reader. He actually just tweeted that he's in the UK, so his call quality would be terrible, or else he'd call in. But, you know, one person or persons that he mentions would really benefit from going over in The Undertaker would be somebody like, one of the guys in the Shield, or maybe a few guys.
Roman Reigns. You know what? I think he's got the look.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Know. But does he have the personality to go with the look?
Yeah, we're yet to know that.
Yeah.
I'll say Ambrose has both. He has that intangible where he just, you know, that kind of Heath Ledger kind of dark charisma.
Yeah.
Where fans would buy into him on his own, I think, anyway.
I'll tell you what. One person who would really probably have a really good shot is Sonny. Oh, I mean, holy shit, she beat the hell out of her boyfriend with a hammer. So, I mean,
listen, man, she comes as the four of the WWE, man. Be great.
Yeah.
What about Alberto Del Rio?
You know what? There's been so many rumors though over the past couple of years about Del Rio, where we've heard before that he doesn't want to stay in wrestling as long as most other people do, and so I mean, without really knowing that, and he's already 35, do you give it to that type of guy?
Yeah, and
I love Alberto Del Rio. I think he's great. I love him as a face. I think I like him as a face better than a heel, and I never thought I would. But
I was just going to say that exact same thing. I couldn't stand him as a heel.
For it.
I thought he was boring and stale, but...
I agree. But at 35, same thing with a CM Punk. CM Punk's going to be 35. You got Wade Barrett, who's going to be 33, and I like Wade Barrett. I think he's a great talent. I think they don't know how to use him in and out of the ring. But honestly... there's really nobody there. They lack the superstar face.
I still think Punk's the best option at this point, though. I mean, 33, he loves wrestling enough that he probably would do this for another 10, 15 years. So I think it's a safe bet.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. But anyway, we got a couple of minutes left, unfortunately, so it's time to wrap some things up. So, Justin, thanks for calling in, man. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, John, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Justin, before you go, tell the listeners where they can find you and your work at.
I write for WrestleCraft.com, and I also write for Football Nation, although I haven't done so in quite a while. And occasionally I contribute to CamelClutchBlog.com with Eric Argiulo. So you find me in most places. I freelance.
And real fast, what's your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is WrestleCraftJRH.
Cool stuff. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin, man. Talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, John. Take care.
Yeah.
Tell you what, that guy is a freaking encyclopedia when it comes to wrestling stuff. Last night I was tweeting him and asking him the craziest off-the-wall stats, and the guy comes back with an answer in 30 seconds. I don't know how the hell he does it.
Yeah, he's got a database for a brain, man. I don't.
He sure does.
I can't keep that much crap in my head, man. I don't know how he does. Oh, I tell you. But anyway, listen, we only got a couple minutes left, so basically, I mean, that's really it for the first episode here of Wrestle Chat Radio on the Fan Junkies Network. And Brett, thanks for bringing it to the Fan Junkies Radio Network, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. You know, if there's anybody I'm going to partner with, it's going to be you guys. And, this 30-minute test run this week was fun. And I know there's a few people on Twitter saying they were trying to get in. I don't know if maybe we were having some issues, but we're going to be back every Tuesday, 2 o'clock, it looks like. Who knows if we'll stay at 30 minutes or go up to an hour, but look forward to speaking with everybody.
Absolutely, because this half an hour went super-duper quick. It would have been nice to have some more callers, but we'll get there eventually. So I guess next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, you can join us right back here on Blog Talk Radio, and also head over to www.wrestlechat.net for all of your wrestling news, not just the WWE, Impact, whatever else is out there, Ring of Honor, it's all there. It's always at WrestleChat because that's where it's at. So for Brett Daniel, the founder of WrestleChat, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time.